Okay, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to move forward. And we'll go ahead and read verses 22 and 23. So Matthew 6, 22 and 23. And who'd read that for us this morning? Delbert? Okay, I'm just trying to, I thought I was organized up here and I wasn't, so, okay. Okay, all right, there we go, all right. Okay, thank you, Delbert. And Jesus, again, he's preaching here on the Sermon on the Mount, and he illustrates, now he's moving to illustrate the what he's talking about with the eye, okay? The eye now becomes the illustration of the heart. In other words, the eye is like a lamp to the body. If our heart is toward God, it lights our entire spiritual being. If our heart is toward the treasure of the world, that blinds the blinds come down on our spiritual perception. And Lord, folks, it's hard to keep a focus on the Lord all the time. And a lot of times we get caught up in this world. We get caught up in the cares and the desires of the world. And when we do that, when we get our eyes, it draws us away from the Lord. And if our heart is toward the treasure of the world, we do not see spiritually as we ought to. And folks, that's a tremendous principle. It's talking about the eye and lighting up our entire spiritual being. And it says, you know, look at the word single, okay? The word single actually means generous, okay? If your heart is generous, your whole heart, your whole spiritual life will be flooded with spiritual understanding. The call then is to exclusively heavenly mindedness, devotion to God, an undivided laying up of treasure in heaven. We're supposed to have a focus on Him, and if our focus is on Him, our spiritual light is going to be shining bright, is basically what he's trying to say here. And the call then is to exclusively heavenly mindedness, devotion to God, and laying up treasure in heaven. And I guess a lot of times there's all kind of where our focus is, what we talk about, what our mindset is, where we put our treasure in, that's where our heart is, okay? And I guess just one example is how do we handle our money? That's just one example of multitudes, okay? That is one key to our spiritual perception. And there's many more examples, but are we using our finances to further the kingdom of God? I mean, we have take care of our physical needs too, but don't neglect the spiritual things as of where we put our finances. And a lot of times people say, well, I run out of money before I get around to tithing. Well, it needs to be the other way around. You know, you need to give to the Lord first and then take care of the other stuff. Be sure that the spiritual is taken care of. And again, I'm not talking a sermon on money, but anyway, but that's one example. Where do we put our money? You know, do we invest anything in the things of God? You know, and that's basically the messages of verses 22 and 23. Let's go ahead and read verse 24. And who'd read verse 24 for us? Okay, Alan?
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Cannot serve God.
Okay, that's always kind of been a confusing verse. You know, people say, well, yeah, I can have an employer and two different, maybe two jobs, got two employers, they're my sort of our master, okay? But finally, it says we can have two masters, but we cannot serve them both. You cannot serve God and mammon, okay? And mammon means money, you know. And a lot of people got their focus on money, trying to build wealth, their 401k programs and stuff like that, trying to get it bigger, 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 you know. That's putting, you know, trying to accumulate a bunch of mass, a bunch of wealth, you know. And we need to be, rather than doing that, we need to be investing that money in godly causes, okay? Now, anytime you get into this verse, people might say, I don't agree with that. I can serve two masters, okay? The reason people say that is because they don't understand the word serve here, okay? The word serve. And again, this Jesus here is not talking about being an employee in an 8-to-5 job. And that's where the confusion comes in on this verse, okay? The word is, well, I'm just going to spell it. I can't pronounce it. D-O-U-L-E-U-O, deluio, something like that. That is the word for bond slave, okay? And when it's talking about serving a master, it's talking about being a bond slave. And folks, we, the epitome of the Christian life would be to be a bond slave to Christ. In other words, our total, well, we'll just talk about what a bond slave is. If I don't get off my notes, I'll get all messed up here. You can't be a slave to two masters, okay? Why can you not be a slave to two masters? Because slavery by definition means single ownership, full-time service. This is what Christ is talking about here, what he's referring to here. And that's, and when we understand this, then this verse will make sense, okay? A slave was not a person, okay? A slave was a thing. A slave had no rights. A master could beat a slave, kill a slave, sell a slave. That is a bond slave, okay? And a lot of times when we talk of, in the Bible, when it talks about slave, uses that word, it is actually referring to a bond slave. We need to have, I mean, the epitome would be for us to have this mindset that we are bond slaves to Christ. He is our master. And we are his servant. A slave was a living tool, no different than a plow or a cow or anything else. A slave was a property of a master. He or she was to be constantly, totally, entirely, 100% devoted to obedience to that one master. That's why the verse says you cannot serve two masters. You can only have one, okay? Referring to this bond slave type situation. It would be utterly impossible to express that in two different masters. You can't do that. That's the illustration used in Romans 6. Now that we have come to Christ, we must yield ourselves servants to him. That word servant is actually bond slave. And that would be the epitome of our devotion to Christ. And I've got a long ways to go to get there. I mean, admittedly, okay? And our human flesh fights against that. But we are to be so that dedicated to him, you know? And that would be the thing that we need to strive for, to become more bond slave type followers of Christ. 100% yielded to him, you know? I have not arrived, haven't even come close. But I'm a work in progress yet. The Lord's still working on me. He's still trimming rough edges off, but we've got a long ways to go. Because we are his slaves, we are no longer the slave to sin. Okay? He has removed us from that. We're not a slave to sin anymore. We should now strive to be a bond slave to Christ. Where's the safest place to put our treasure? Here's a little phrase that our pastor, back when I was saved, he would probably use this every sermon, you know. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Okay? And folks, we're laying up treasures in heaven. That's the only thing that's going to last. All of our toys and our trinkets, they're going to be left behind. You know, we can't take them with us to heaven. Let's not hoard our money. Let's use it to further the kingdom of God. Let's not hoard our talents. Let's use them for the kingdom of God. Anything that we have, any blessings we have, we need to try to serve the Lord with what he has given us. And anything. Any comments or questions before we move on? Okay. Let's move on. Let's go ahead. Let's read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Excuse me, can you mute me a second, Tracy? Okay, so Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and who would read that? John?
For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, that they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Okay, thank you, John. I tell you what, there is comfort in those verses, such comfort in those verses, and I wish I could, I wish I could get to the point where I could live by that, what it's saying here. You know, he's saying, we worry about things. We worry about, what are we going to, you know, what about this? What about that? What about something else, you know? Folks, that is unbelief. It's unbelief, okay? And God's saying, hey, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. And a lot of times we get all shook up and all lathered up and everything, worried about this, worried about that. What if, you know, what if? And anyway, God says, I'm going to take care of you. You know, I'm here. I love you. And again, there's times I look back over your past, over your life. Okay? Has God taken care of you all that time? You know? And we go through hard times, tough times. We look back on it. And we can say, God has been there. He's been with us. And yet we can't trust him, you know, for tomorrow. We forget, we worry, we stew, we fret, we get all stewed up. And these words are so comforting. I mean, and think about the birds. I mean, they don't, like I say, they don't plant food. They don't do anything. God sustains them. He sees they got food and water. They're living and they're, you know, they're happy, cheerful, and going on. I just wish I could. Wish I could learn these lessons more. This, as I'm going through this, folks, these verses are speaking to me. Jim, why are you all shook up about this? You know, why is this bothering you like it is? Okay, So verse 25, okay, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. And a term for this would be called anxious concern, okay? A lot of times we get worried about this, worried about anxious concern, which comes from unbelieving doubts. If you stop and think about it, we're not trusting the Lord to take care of us if we're worrying about stuff. He says he's going to. That's a promise. It's a promise, okay? Is not life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment? If God then gives and keeps up the greater, the life, the body, you know, he's sustaining our life, will he withhold the less? The food to sustain life and raiment to clothe the body? Is he not going to take care of it? He loves us. He loves us so much he died for us. Christ paid the price. He died for us. He loves us that much. Won't he see that we're taken care of? And yet we struggle. Verse 26, it says, behold the fowls of the air. And the word behold means observe well. Consider. Consider the fowls of the air. Okay, so as to learn wisdom from them. And folks, we can learn a lot of wisdom just by observing them, okay? For they sow not. They don't plant any food. They don't provide any food. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns. They don't do that. God takes care of them every day. Every day. He sees they're going to be taken care of. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And we're better than the birds. God puts us on a higher level, okay? He gave us dominion over all animals and everything. Are ye not dearer to God? The birds are incapable of sowing, reaping, and storing. They can't do that. They have no way to do it. And yet, God takes care of them. Yet your heavenly Father sustains them without any of those abilities. Will he not also take care of us? And God's going to see to it that we're taken care of. And I hope that helps us, me, okay, us to stop worrying about things. Stop getting all concerned about it. And again, if Christ was there, he'd look at us and just like he said to the disciples, oh, ye of little faith, you know, little faith. He's going to take care of us. Verse 27 and verse 28, it says, which of you, by taking thought, okay, this word taking thought means anxious worrying, you know, which of you by anxious worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or as John said, another year to your lifespan. You know, we can't. We can't do it, okay? The obvious answer, we can't. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. And look how beautiful they are. God's clothed them with beauty that, you know, is you know, for they toil not as men planting and preparing fields. They don't do any of that stuff. And yet God takes care of them. And what lessons it is here that he's teaching us. Neither do they spin, you know, as women on a spinning wheel. You know, they don't spin. They don't do anything to provide for tomorrow. God takes care of them. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And, we look at the flowers and the fields, and God takes care of all that. He's going to take care of us too. And we need to rest in him. And I just need to try to learn how to do that better, you know. It's best left. Okay. We need to learn to let go and let God. I've heard that phrase before many times. Just let go and let God. Don't worry about it. We can pray about it, but then we prayed about it. Trust him and move on with your life. That's easy to say. It's hard to live by. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He promised to take care of us. Shall then God's children, so dear to him, be left uncared for? He's not going to leave us uncared for. I'll just pause here. Any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Verses 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows what we need. He knows better than we do. He knows what we need. We need to learn to trust him. The heathen naturally pursue earthly goods as their only good. And what a higher goal than these does Jesus here ask of us? I'm struggling here because I've scratched stuff out and I wrote stuff in the margins and I can't leave. I print a lesson off after going through it several times. I can't leave it alone. I got to keep changing it. Anyway, rather pursue the knowledge that our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of all these things. Just realize that. God knows what we need. He's going to take care of us. How precious is this word? And here's what one of the guys said, will that not suffice you, O ye needy ones of the household of faith? In other words, that's a quote from one of these guys. Will not that suffice you, O ye needy ones of the household of faith? The household of faith, that's referring to Christians. The last two verses, verses 33 and 34, are a summary of his teaching about worrying. So let's go ahead and wrap it up here, verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay? So, what practice did he encourage in this passage? The right state of the heart with reverence to living our daily lives, to have our focus on the Lord, trust in him as we go through our daily life. We're to focus on living in obedience to God's will and desires, honoring his word in our daily actions. Let that be our prayer, Lord. Help me honor you. Live for you today. We get up in the morning and striving to please and honor him in everything that we do. Trying to live a righteous life and not get caught up in the cares of this world. Talking about the cares of the world, folks, anymore, I can't even hardly turn my TV on. I don't. You look at all that stuff, look at all the mess that's going on. And again, we need to be, I turn on the news. I try to stay abreast a little bit, but I can turn that thing on and eventually I just got to shut it back off. All the evil, the wickedness that's going on. Anyway, trying to live a righteous life and not get caught up in the cares of this world. What is a promise in this verse? God promises all of our daily needs will be provided. He's promising that, okay? The kingdom of God is the primary subject of the Sermon on the Mount. That kingdom which the God of heaven is erecting in this fallen world. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward when God sets up his kingdom and when all this mess is taken care of. And the seeking of them first is the seeking of them before and above all else. Seek the kingdom of God first. Try to live, strive to live a godly life. Put that at the top of your priority. Is included in that. The all of these things, okay, he says, God knows you need all of these things, okay, which shall be added to us are the things that our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of. He knows what we need. It's not a surprise to him. And we're bringing our prayers and requests to him. And he knows what our needs, and he is going to give us what we need. And we need to rest in that. Rest in that. That is all that we require for the present life. He knows. He's ahead of the curve. He already knows, okay? And in verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought, okay? And again, that means anxious care, worrying, okay? Take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about problems that may happen in the future. We do that a lot of times. What if? What if? What if? What about this? What about that? Okay? We're worrying about that, you know. Don't worry about problems that may happen in the future. There's enough problems today to deal with. Okay? Is what this verse is saying. If there are things that we can fix in today's problems, fix it. Okay? Don't let it go on. If there's something that you can, if you got a problem, there's something you can do about it, do that. Okay? Fix it. But then if it's beyond our control, commit that to God and don't worry about it. In that case, let go and let God. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. There'll be enough problems for tomorrow. There's going to be problems tomorrow. All right, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Take care of today. Tomorrow's got enough problems. But it'll have its own set of problems. Okay? Shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's what that means. Every day brings its own cares. A whole new set of cares, problems tomorrow, okay? And to anticipate problems is only to double them today. So you've got today's problems to deal with, plus tomorrow's problems to deal with, and you're under a double load. And the Bible's saying don't do that. Don't do that. Don't stew and fret about what's going to happen tomorrow. Take care of today, now. Trust his judgment and let him deal with it if it's out of our control. Lord, this thing is beyond me. I can't control it. Lord, you deal with it, and I'm just going to trust you for the results. That should be our mindset. Okay, that closes out chapter 6. Yes, sir. It's not saying that, okay?
You know, and I take that personally. I know John's talked about, you know, he would lose a calf or something, and that's hard. And, you know, and so to just let go and just say, oh, well, it's, you know, just to be carefree about it, I don't think is right either. And holding that in balance of, you know, we know that God is in control, but we're also responsible to do the best that we can.
Okay, I did not mean to convey that thought. Did I convey that in this teaching?
No,
maybe I did.
I'm just telling you, I struggle with that, you know, balancing these principles.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting you conveyed that, but I think it can be conveyed. I think sometimes you do think that. I would argue the let go, let God kind of, that idea conveys that.
Yeah.
Yeah. God will deal with it.
Okay.
I got to take responsibility, and at the same time, I'll trust him.
Very good point. You know, and like I said, if there's something you can do about it, fix it. You know, and that was what I was trying to say, but I may have came across in the wrong manner. No, we're not supposed to be lackadaisical and shirk our responsibilities. We're not, okay? We're supposed to do what we can do and be responsible citizens. And a very excellent point. And I might let that crack open up here. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, Mick.
We have to take his whole word, not just bits and pieces. And that goes hand in hand with we're called to do everything as under the Lord, right, not under man. And we're called to give our absolute best to him because he's given his best to us. And our best is not just going, oh, well, it's in God's hands. It's,
yeah,
he gave me a mind to think. He gave me a mind to process. And if I screwed up in my planting, I need to do better at it.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't take care of the calf because I was too busy watching the Chiefs game, then I need to turn the TV off.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put all of the scripture together in that. And at the end of the day, I think he writes this down to remind us, and guess what? You're still not perfect than I am. You are still sinners, and you're going to, you don't have any control over.
Right.
Your job is to do your absolute best and then leave the results in my hands.
Okay. It's mainly talking about worrying is what this whole section is about. And for some reason, it seemed like if I'm standing right here and when you're talking back there, somehow the echo and this thing comes back and it's, I'm catching from both sides. If I move over here, I can hear you a lot better. And that doesn't make any sense, but that's, I could hear you when I get here, but I couldn't hear. So anyway, hearing aids are not, okay. No, that's good, Pastor.
Jim, I think another thing that we need to bear in mind with our passage, as Christ notes in verse 32, this wrap of these things do the Gentiles seek, is where is our emphasis?
Mm-hmm.
As the Gentiles, he brings up the Gentiles, their emphasis was always on the present, the personal, the physical. That was what they were consumed with. And he's giving us these comparisons, the lilies, the flowers of the field, they don't make their clothing, but God's clothed them. The birds don't plow and everything else. God takes care of them. And reminding us that, yes, God does take care of us. But then he brings us to verse 33, which reminds us, and I think is the crux of the matter, he puts that nice three-letter word, but, seek ye first the kingdom of God, reminding us that, yes, the physical is here, and we deal with it every day because this is where we live. But that's not the end game. That's not the completeness of our lives. There is a spiritual aspect that we must apply ourselves towards in seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we do that, God says, I'll take care of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
Those physical things that we kind of tend naturally to be concerned about, our food, our clothing, God says, I'll take care of that. You focus on the spiritual. You focus on your walk with me.
Mm-hmm.
Following what I've called you to do, living as you should for me, I'll take care of those physical things for you. That's easy. The spiritual is the harder part, really,
mm-hmm,
is our walk with God. And he says, focus there. I'll take care of those other things for you. And I think we all can attest to some level of seeing that true in our lives as we've sought to live for it. Doesn't mean our life becomes easy. Doesn't mean that the physical becomes easy. But God takes care of those other things as we focus on the spiritual, as we focus on our God, mm-hmm, and our worship of him as he would have us to worship, as we should live for him. God takes care of those other things.
Very good point. Very good point. Anybody else? Okay, it's been good. Yes.
Throughout my life and the last several years, whatever, I've had to do a lot of this. You know, it's like, okay, there are things that are out of my control. But there are things, like Mick was saying and Tracy was saying, you know, God expects us to go out and do our best. It's not just lay down here and God's going to take care of me.
I did not mean to convey that message. Okay.
You know, I've had things that I have held on to for years, and I have, you know, I worry about this and that. And one of my concerns, I'll just put it out there, was when Pat and I went to the mission field, we gave up pretty much all of his retirement plan. When we came back, we used all of mine to get situated. So, you know, that had been a real burden on Pat's heart. He was afraid we were going to be destitute and on the streets, you know. And my thought has always been, God has said this to me, is I've always taken care of you. I will take care of you in the future. He's taking care of me. You know, But at the same time, he's given me help to continue to work to help do that. You know, and I think that sometimes we feel like we have to do it all. It's like, no, just let go of it. Let God guide us, let God direct us, and don't worry about it. You know, you just continue to do your footsteps. You do what God leads you to do, and he will take care of the end result. You know, I don't think he's going to let any of us starve to death. I don't have the fear that I will end up on the streets. You know, because this passage tells us, I'm going to take care of you and not to worry about it. But it does not, like the guys have said, it does not give us the go-ahead just to do nothing. You know, mm-hmm. I may never be able to retire, and if I don't, oh well, I've got to be doing something. You know, so that may be what God has put on my heart, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, because he knows what's best for me, and it's best for me not to be home all the time. Trust me, I know that. So anyway, I love this passage. I have had to use it a lot in my life. You know, okay. Just to remind me, God's in control. He's always taking care of you, and he's not going to drop you on your head.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good point. Good point. Thank you. Okay. No, we are to be responsible citizens. We're supposed to be, you know, Bible says, hey, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. And that's true. I mean, what you guys have said has been wonderful. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Building. I mean, the church really isn't the building. This is just where we come to gather together.
Mm-hmm.
When Lori and I first came here, none of this interior work had been done. And a lot of people wondered, how are we going to pay for all this? Well, God did provide, and this is all paid for. Everything that we have here is free of debt. You know, it's in God's hands. And yes, we are supposed to be responsible. And people were giving to that building fund, but it still did not have enough to do this sanctuary until after it was done. And then all of a sudden, we had money to pay the loan off. And the loan was actually from an individual from the church that loaned the money to the church to pay everything.
Hmm.
The person was paid off. So God does work. I mean, things happen. You do need to trust him.
Right. And this section here, it gives us peace. You know, God's going to take care. He's going to see to us we're taken care of. We might be going through trials and hardships right now, and things might be tough for the moment, but look over your past. We've been through trials and tribulations, and God has brought us through it all. He's faithful, 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 just like it says here. Anybody else? Okay, we have got 3 minutes. And so we've closed out chapter 6. Let's just go ahead and read. We'll just kind of give us to move ahead, just give us some things to think about. Let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And who'd read that for us? Pastor?
Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Okay. Tremendous passages here again. And I tell you, we just have a minute. I think rather than go into this, no sense of breaking it all up. Anybody have any questions or comments before we close? About anything? Okay, let's close in prayer, and you're going to get out a minute early instead of 5 minutes late. So, all right. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Thank you, Father, for the discussion that we've had. And Lord, and again, we are not to be lackadaisical. We're not supposed to stand back and just literally let go and let God and not do our part. Lord, you do ask us to do our part and to be diligent, Lord, in serving you and to be in the type of citizens we need to be with, you know, with our family and with others, and just to be good citizens and take care of business we need to take care of, and what we have control of, help us, Lord, to do that. But then, Lord, again, when it's out of our control, and just it's a thing on worry, Lord, and a lot of times we worry way too much. More than we should. And again, worrying is unbelief. It's unbelief. Jesus said that many times. You know, oh, ye of little faith. He talked to the disciples. And Lord, we struggle with the same thing. And so Lord, just help us to learn from these lessons. Help us apply these truths. And Lord, just help us to trust in you more. And Lord, just be with Pastor as he brings a message this morning. Open our hearts, Lord, for the message you have for each and every one of us. And just pray that everything that's said and done today, Lord, will honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.